You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
It is the first Twins podcast of the brand new year 2018, but certainly not the last. A happy new year to all the Twins fans out there, and to you, Rhett Bollinger, as well as Rhett, our Twins reporter, joining us here today to talk all things Twins baseball heading into 2018. And let's think warm thoughts on these very cold winter days all across the country as we gear up for 2018. We'll kind of run down the five biggest questions facing Minnesota as they want to get back to the playoffs in back-to-back years. So, Rhett, I think a good place to start. This has always been the topic du jour whenever we talk Twins baseball, their pursuit of a frontline starter. What kind of odds do you put on the Twins getting that elite guy, whether it's you, Darvish, or perhaps somebody else on that next tier? How do you think the Twins' chances are right now?
I think the odds are still pretty good here. I do think the Twins are going to try to get a top-line starter. Whether it's going to be Darvish is hard to say. At this point, it kind of is hard to even guess where Darvish is going to go. You know, he's met with some teams already, teams like the Cubs, his former team, the Rangers, the Astros as well. I'm sure the Dodgers will probably be in that mix as well, too, coming off that team. So it's hard to say what will happen with Darvish, but even if they strike out on Darvish, I think they've got a good chance to go after a guy like, Lance Lynn or Alex Cobb. Jake Arrieta as well, I think they just have more interest in a guy like Cobb or Lynn more than they have a guy like Arrieta right now. Arrieta might just be a little bit too costly for looking for in terms of the age, too. He's a little bit older than those two guys. They want some younger guys that can be a little bit more affordable. I mean, I think the Cobb and Lynn are both going to get pretty good contracts, but the fact that they're both tied to the compensation for draft pick might bring down their value a little bit. So I do think they'll find somebody, and obviously they can go the trade route as well. But I do think no matter what, they need a starter to go into that, rotation. Right now the rotation, they like the top of it with Ervin Santana and Jose Berríos. After that, though, they don't have as much depth they used to. Kyle Gibson had a nice second half. Otherwise, it's going to be a lot of young guys. Alberto Mejías in that mix. Prospects like, Fernando Romero and Cesar Gonçalves. And you got guys coming off injuries like, Phil Hughes and Trevor May. So there's a lot of question marks beyond those top two guys and maybe Gibson. So I do think they need to get some sort of top-line guy that's going to fit up there toward the top of that rotation with Santana and Berríos. I do think it will happen. It's just hard to say who at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to have Santana and Berríos as your one and two, but if you can have them as your two and three and put a bona fide ace at the top of that number one spot, obviously that only makes things better for the Twins and for that rotation as a whole, one through five. Rhett, interesting question you posed here. With so many young guys on this team coming into their own and forming what is hopefully the nucleus of this Twins team for years to come, what players would you say right now amongst that younger group are the biggest priorities in terms of contract extensions?
Well, it's definitely going to be a priority for the team. I asked Thad Levine, the GM, about that at the winter meeting, just kind of get a feel for how far in the process they are in terms of identifying players they want to extend, if they had any talks with the agents about that. They have not at this point yet. I think their plan is when spring training starts and the roster is finalized, and they know their budget, they'll kind of have more of a feel for how they want to approach that and talk to different agents for these guys. You got to figure Buxton's got to be the number one priority. Buxton's, the future star of this team, a great guy to build around, all-around player, but also just a good person in the community, a good face in the franchise. So you got to figure they really want to extend him. It's just a matter of if he wants to go year to year. That's the whole thing with this whole thing. There's probably this whole, extension thing is these guys don't have to sign an extension if they don't want to. They can continue to go year to year with arbitration hits and get paid that way and then become free agency, become a free agent earlier. Obviously, the benefit of signing an extension is you get that guaranteed money up front and you might buy out a year or two of your free agency and become a free agent a couple years later. Miguel Sano, I'm sure they'll have contact with him as well. Max Kepler, maybe even Jorge Polanco. A lot of these young guys, they want to lock up for a while. I mean, I think the middle infield is a little bit tough because with Polanco, just because, you got Nick Gordon coming up. You don't know really the situation yet with Brian Dozier. But same thing with Dozier and Mauer, even though they're not young guys. They're both going to the last year of their contracts. The Twins could look to keep one or both of those guys as well, too. I mean, both faces of the franchise. Mauer's only played with the Twins. Has been the face of the franchise now for a decade, more than a decade. Could he come back on a smaller deal to stay with the organization after next year? We'll find out more as the season goes along. Same with Dozier, big-time player for this team with the power and same thing as a clubhouse leader and also a face of this franchise. Will he be extended or are they going to let him walk and decide to go with a younger middle infield with Polanco and maybe Nick Gordon? So there's just a lot to kind of look forward to and see with a young core of guys, but also with some of these veterans in the last year. So I think extension talk is something we'll definitely be monitoring a lot in spring training and even throughout the season to see what they want to do with these young players and the veterans with their contracts.
Yeah, obviously you talked about Joe Mauer on the other end of that spectrum. He is right now obviously the face of the franchise, but a guy that could inherit that mantle one day and maybe one day soon is Byron Buxton. And when you look at his talent, he had a breakthrough 2017, and he could truly be one of the elite players in the game. Do you see him maybe one day joining that class of the Mike Trouts and the Altuves, Machados, and Bryce Harpers? Do you see him in that class or maybe a tier or two below that?
I think the sky's the limit. I think that's certainly possible. I mean, you got to see if the offense is really going to get to that point. It was in the second half of this year, that breakout. If he continues that kind of breakout the way that he did with the power and speed that he had, then, yeah, you got to put him in that kind of class because he does so much defensively. You know, he's the best defensive player in baseball. We pretty much know that now with all the defensive metrics out there and even just the awards he got from the Platinum Gold Glove to the Wilson Defensive Player of the Year. He's the best defensive player in the majors. And when he can add, all-star type offense to that, all of a sudden now you're talking about one of the elite players in the game. So, but it's still, the jury's still out though if he's going to reach that level of offense just because it was such a small sample size. It really only was, I guess it started maybe in, late May, June-ish. But really it was July, August, September that he really dominated. I think he's got to do it for a longer stretch to prove that. But it's a great sign because that was kind of the worry they've had the last couple of years was he dominated the minor leagues offensively, but really struggled his first couple of years in the majors. But that's not, too untypical for a guy his age. He's only 24 years old now going into this season. He was 23 last year. So he's still a young guy in his, early to mid-20s. They can continue to get better. So I do think he can reach that class. I think that was always kind of the hope all along. He was the game's number one prospect for, 3 out of 4 years for MLB.com. So he always had that kind of trajectory. It just kind of got stalled a little bit with some of those issues in the majors early on with his plate discipline and his pitch recognition. But I think that now he's gotten a better feel for that. He sticks his mechanics. I do think that an MVP-type, season or player is something that Buxton could become. But it's still, like I said, it's still too early until he really does it again for a full season and really shows the offense is legit. But if it is, with his defensive speed, he is definitely the real deal.
And there's a school of thought that sometimes the best thing a young player can do is struggle. And Byron Buxton had those struggles, by leaps and bounds. There's no question there. But, he's had them. He's learned from them. He's hopefully put it behind him. And now he can take that next step to being not just a good player or very good, but a great to elite player. And maybe 2018 is the season that whole thing happens over the course of a full campaign. Rhett, let's transition to the bullpen. Even after signing the veteran closer, Fernando Rodney, and his magical bow and arrow, how much of a concern is the rest of that bullpen right now?
It's not too much of a concern right now because they just signed Zach Duke as well. He is coming off Tommy John surgery that he returned from in July with the Cardinals. But Duke kind of gives him a veteran lefty in there, and then Rodney can be that closer at the back end. Because they still have some intriguing young arms that they really like, Trevor Hildenberger to be their main setup reliever. Taylor Rogers has put together two really nice seasons in a row there. They're hoping that Ryan Pressly and Tyler Duffy can bounce back a little bit. You never know if Trevor May or Phil Hughes might go into the bullpen as well. And they've got other young arms they like a lot. They're in the minor leagues and guys like Gabriel Moya, Jake Reed. There's some guys that are on the upswing here, John Curtis. There's some young arms that are really starting to fill up this bullpen. So it's not as much of a concern right now. I think they wanted to sign probably two relievers. They went for Rodney and Duke, which are both pretty low cost. Rodney got the 1 year and an option, and Duke only got the 1 year. Both guys, are getting up there in age a little bit. So not long-term signings, but I think they kind of want to have that flexibility because they feel like they have some young guys that can maybe step up and be the closer after this season. But for now, at least they have some veterans in the back end. They could obviously add another guy here, but more likely, if I had to guess, it'd probably be like a minor league free agent type. But they really haven't spent too much money in the bullpen, which I guess maybe allows them to have a bigger budget to try to sign a guy like Darvish, or Lynn or Cobb. I think they certainly have the money to do that if that were to be the case, especially because so far, as much as they've fixed the bullpen a little bit, it hasn't really been a costly endeavor. They've been kind of two low-cost veterans to kind of fill out that bullpen.
And, Rhett, to wrap things up here, sometimes the biggest obstacle that a team faces after coming out of nowhere to succeed and coming out of nowhere to reach the playoffs, as the Twins did in 2017, is now, in the ensuing season, you have that weight of expectation, which, of course, when you lose 100-plus games, there are zero expectations. The Twins have that now. Would you earmark that as their biggest obstacle, their biggest challenge in getting back to the postseason?
I would think so, yes. I mean, even if you look at 2 years ago, they're coming off that season after Modder's first year as manager. The Twins, you know, surprisingly made it to the second to last day of the season before they're eliminated from the postseason that year. I think that everyone thought that, you know, two seasons ago was maybe going to be a year the Twins would continue to build on their kind of surprise season. Next year had some expectations. I remember the, you know, opening day, Terry Ryan saying that, you know, this is a playoff caliber ball club. And then sure enough, we know that's the team that ended up losing 103 games and was the worst team in baseball. So sometimes their expectations definitely can go awry just having that feeling now that they're supposed to win. But I think this team's better equipped to continue to get better, because I do like that young core a lot. I think Buxton continually is getting better offensively. You know, if they can stay healthy offensively, they've got a great young core. They don't have to really change much with that. The pitching is going to be the big key. We've talked about it a million times, but they've still got to add a starter to contend. But at least they've got some young arms, like I said, they're in the bullpen, and they've got Barrios and Santana at the top of the rotation. So, but it's going to be tough because I think a lot of the big clubs so far continue to get better. You know, the Yankees, it's incredible what they've done this offseason. Even the Angels have added a lot, too. And those are two teams that were, you know, the wild card type teams. So we're not even talking about the teams that won their divisions last year. So that's kind of the way it shapes up in baseball right now. It seems there's a lot of super teams, and then there's the teams that are rebuilding, and there's the teams that are kind of in the tiers between it. And I think the Twins are probably just in that tier, obviously, below the super teams. So it's going to be a little tough for them to break in other than being the wild card, unless the Indians really fall off here. So it's going to be a lot for them to make the playoffs back-to-back years. But they have that young core. If they can continue to develop and they can add a starting pitcher this offseason, it can happen. But you're definitely right. The expectations are there now, and they're going to be there continually. I think at this point, the fact that they made it already, it might have been earlier than people expected. People think this team should be good going forward. And if they're not, it's going to fall on the front office and it's going to fall on Modder. So there is definitely some pressure now to win. And I think that's going to kind of manifest itself in the way they build this ball club, even next year in free agency, and they continue to add more and more pitching and more pieces to make this a consistent winner going forward.
Yeah, that's always a big step in any team's development when you can't sneak up on anybody like the Twins did in 2017. Teams are going to know what this Twin squad is all about, having reached the postseason, having reached the wild card game. So that's always a next big developmental step to see if the Twins can handle that and take that next step forward. And I think we all agree that the Central belongs to the Indians for the foreseeable future, but there's no reason why the Twins can't make some noise, especially if they get that coveted number one starter, whether it's Yu Darvish or someone else, to take us full circle. And that's a good place to wrap this one up on this Friday, the 5th of January. Rhett Bollinger, great stuff as always. We appreciate the time, and we'll do it again soon. In the meantime, Matt Wehmeyer signing off for MLB.com Extras, Minnesota Twins.